2 weeks ago, when we looked closely at the resurrection of our Jesus, we learned that when Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took the body of Christ, they prepared it quickly and rolled the stone in front of the tomb. We saw that the death of Christ was now complete. We learned that the apostles and the followers of Christ, they hid. The Jewish authorities, they celebrated, but Satan braced for impact. And on the third day, Jesus came out of that borrowed tomb. We learned that because Jesus was resurrected from the dead, when we accept His free gift of salvation, we too are resurrected from the dead. We also learned that because Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and we were resurrected from the dead, that one day soon, all those who will save will partake of another coming resurrection when the rapture of the church takes place. Now, a couple questions. Everybody paying attention? Everybody with me? Couple questions. Reflecting on the resurrection of Christ. What happened in your life since you received Jesus? Now, go back. What has happened in your life since you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? Since you've accepted that free gift of salvation that He freely gave to you? What's happened? Now, I want to challenge you. I want you to understand that something should have happened. Jesus does not save anybody to stay the same. He saves you from the top of your head to the tips of your toes to serve Him. There's a reason He saves you. He did not just give you, oh, here, baby, here's a free get out of hell free pass. You do what you want to do. Jesus saves you for a reason. Second question I have for you is this. Is there evidence of a resurrected life in your life? Let me ask again. Is there evidence of a resurrected life? Don't be looking at anybody else. Don't look at anybody else. You hear me? Don't look at anybody else, because that's what we do. Well, look at him. He doesn't live like a Christian. I've had people in my family look at me when I'm just, you know, playing with children, and they've looked at me and said this: that's not how a preacher acts. Wrestling with little boys. Wrestling. You know, wrestling, WWE, wrestling with boys. You know, that might be the problem we got in the world today with boys growing up. We ain't wrestling with them enough. I don't know. Listen, is there evidence in your life that a resurrection took place? Let's look at Mark chapter 3, verse 13. Then he, being Jesus, went up to the mountain and summoned those he wanted, and they came to him. He also appointed 12. He also named them apostles, to be with him, to send them out to preach, and to have authority to drive out demons. He appointed the 12. To Simon he gave the name Peter, and to James the son of Zebedee, and to his brother John. He gave the name Bojarnius, that is, sons of thunder. They always had something to say. Andrew, Philip, and Bartholomew, which is also Nathaniel. Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Let's pray. Father, we come to you right now, asking you, Lord, just steady our hearts, steady our minds. Lord, open our eyes and our ears and our hearts. Help us to be receptive, not to me, not to, I'm nothing, I'm just a vessel, but be receptive to your word, to your message, that we might be greater, vehicles for you, greater Christians for you, greater witnesses for you, a greater example for you when we walk back through these doors out into our mission fields here in a short while. God, let us feel your presence. In Christ Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Church, I want to ask you just a couple other questions. Do you understand what it means? Because we have to really understand the resurrection. Do you understand what it means that Jesus rose from the dead? That means that he was dead. He died on the cross. There was no life in him. Lifeless, limp, lethargic. He was taken off the cross, laid on the ground. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took his body, lifeless body. There was no. I'm sure somebody at some point just wanted to check, just to make sure. Maybe felt for a pulse. Maybe put a piece of glass up to his face to see if there was breath, anything coming out of him. Listen, his body was lifeless. I don't know how many of you have been around someone who has died, but after a period of time, a short period of time, I'll never forget when my little sister died, my mom called me, and I had just been there an hour before. When I got there, her life was gone out of her. Her face was white, and the blood that was in her hands started turning blue, and she was, there was no life in her. None. There was no life in Christ. They put him in this borrowed tomb, and 3 days later, Scripture tells us he was resurrected from the dead. Now, this is the problem, church. The further the distance from the actual event, the less likely people are to believe it. That's the truth. It's been over 2,000 years, getting close to 2,000 years. Since this took place, do we see evidence to support what I just said? Yeah, this Jesus thing. You go and look on anything that has any spiritual connotations whatsoever at all, any news articles, and you read what's posted underneath it, and you hear people talking fairy tales and fables and putting Jesus in the same category as the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy. Why? Because they don't see any evidence of Jesus. Even though Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says God reveals himself through his creation. God reveals himself every single day. People don't see it. Well, one of the greatest reasons is they don't want to see it. They want to live the way they want to live. They don't want to live any other way. But do you understand that on the third day Christ came out of that grave? Understand, he is not dead. He is very, very much alive. And if I used all the indicators to prove it one more time again today, which I'm not going to do, listen, I don't need to point at anybody other than me. He is alive in me. So you have that concept? Jesus is alive. He is no longer in the tomb. Church, do you understand what it means that you are saved through this resurrection? You are saved. Hey, listen, when Christ died on the cross, you still needed the resurrection. Your salvation was not complete. His death was complete when they put him in that tomb, but your salvation was not complete until he was raised from the dead, until he came up out of that tomb. When he came up out of that tomb, he gave you the promise that he just went through. Do you understand? Do you understand what it means when you're saved through the resurrection? Right about now, many of you might be asking yourself, what in the world did the scripture he read about Jesus calling the 12 apostles have to do with his resurrection or my salvation? I'm glad you asked. Every one of those 12 men acted and reacted to the resurrection of Christ. Their actions told a story of who they really are, who their allegiance is to, and their actions showed to the world that they are real Christians or they're not. Do you hear me? Now listen, we can relate to these 12 apostles prior to the resurrection of Christ. If we would have been there, I'm sure we would have been going through the same things. We'd have been scared to death. They just took the man that we loved. We saw him raise the dead, heal the blind, cause the disease of leprosy, which nobody had a cure for. I mean, nobody had ever been cleared of leprosy. And we saw him cleanse people who had leprosy. He did all of this. All my hope was in Jesus. And even though he said he was going to be persecuted and killed on Calvary's cross and on the third day rise again, I didn't accept it. I didn't believe it. But once he rose from the dead, there was a change. There was a change. And I want to contest to you who call yourselves a Christian, tell yourselves that you are a blood-bought child of the King. If you've accepted the same Jesus that I've accepted, when you accept that resurrection, there is going to be a change. And if there is not a change, you have not experienced the same Jesus that I have. You have not. I would contend with you that I would be scared. Scripture says, narrow is the way and few be that find it. Few be that find it. If there has not been a change, if you are living the same way you've always lived, smoking the same thing you've smoked, drinking the same thing you've drank, living the same way 6 days a week and trying to cover up on Sunday morning, listen, you don't have the same Jesus that I have. You don't. You see, when the resurrection comes into your life, it changes you. Brother Kyle, can you give me an example? Yeah, I can. We're quickly going to touch all 12 of them, just real quick. Peter. Look at Peter. Y'all know the story of Peter, right? Simon Peter. Peter was a lying, scared little man before the resurrection of Christ. But after the resurrection, Peter was a bold witness. He was called out for being drunk on the day the Holy Spirit fell on him. Listen, and he stood up and he says, listen, we're not drunk, we're full of the Spirit of God. The same men that he was running from, he was now pointing the finger and said, listen, y'all don't have a clue what you're talking about. Peter became, he was a sniveling little scaredy cat, became one of the boldest witnesses that there ever was. When they told him, Peter, listen, we're tired of you running your mouth. Listen, we've arrested you. You're going to die. We're going to crucify you the same way we crucified your Jesus. We're sick of you. Peter said, no, sir, listen. I don't deserve to ask anything of you. But I don't deserve to die the same way my Jesus died. Crucify me upside down. Listen, what happened? The resurrection changed his life. It turned him upside down. He would not look back. He would not turn back. He was full throttle Jesus all the way. Kill me, take me, beat me. I don't care. I'm living for Jesus. Look at John. John talks of himself in the third person in the book of John. Y'all know who John is. John describes one of the apostles when they're running from the Garden of Gethsemane, when they're taking Jesus away. There's one who runs slap out of his what? His clothes. The other disciple ran slap out of his clothes. Read what that means is they grabbed his clothes and he ran naked from them. He was scared. But somehow, some way along the path, we do know this. He is the only apostle who finds himself at the cross of Calvary. Y'all know, Jesus looked at him and said, son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. In other words, he was putting Jesus' mom in his care. Now, do you think that the same John that ran when Jesus was first arrested just walked up to the cross and said, hey, listen, I'm John, I ran, but I'm back now, I'm going to support my Jesus, Jesus, I'm here now, I was one of his apostles. Nah. You know what John probably did? He probably slowly and just made his way up to the cross. And when he got close enough to Mary, you know, he probably had a hood over his, and he did like this. Hey, do you know this for sure? Well, he ran out of his clothes 2 days before. I don't think he was making a grand announcement when he got there, but Jesus recognized him, and Jesus honored him. To this day, he was honored. He was the only one standing at Calvary's cross. But there's something else I want you to see. In John 21, chapter 21, verse 1 through 3, gives us a strong indication that at least seven of these men had gone back to fishing, including John. They'd gone back to fishing when Jesus appeared to them. John went on to minister to many as Christ did and was sent to the Isle of Patmos for being a witness for the Lord. John was led by the Spirit of God to write the Gospel of John, a gospel for new believers. He also wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation. According to tradition, John may have been the only apostle not to die a martyr's death. What changed? What changed? The resurrection of Jesus changed his life. Changed his life. Matthew, a former tax collector who became a follower of Christ, was one of the many who ran and hid as Jesus was carried away. But after the resurrection, Jewish tradition tells us he won many in Judea and preached the gospel to the nations of the east. Matthew was led by the Spirit of God to write the Gospel of Matthew, which was written to the Jewish nation. Why? Why? Hadn't God given up on the Jews after what they just put him through? Hadn't he given up on them as a nation? Listen, Matthew was led by the Spirit of God to write the book of Matthew because the Jewish nation would be able to be reached for all eternity. All they have to do is read not the second, not the third, not the fourth gospel, but the very first gospel. When you tell a Jewish person or you ask a Jewish person, have you read the New Testament? Don't you believe any of it? It's not going to take them long to shut the book, but listen to me. The first book they open is going to be the book of Matthew, which Matthew wrote being led by the Spirit to always give an open door to God's chosen people, the Jewish nation. I've told my Wednesday night class, and you might find this kind of odd, but do you know Matthew was not the first actual gospel written? Scholars believe it was the book of Mark. Then why wasn't Mark first? God wanted the Jews to see at the very beginning the genealogies of Christ that proved that he was the Son of God. Matthew. What changed Matthew? What changed his direction? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Big change. How about Andrew? Andrew is best known for first being the disciple of John the Baptist and for his bringing his brother Peter to Jesus. Andrew was an apostle of Christ, but little is known about his activities after the resurrection of Christ, neither through scripture or historical documents. It seems that Andrew just kind of disappears. He just fades into the crowd. He is an apostle of Christ, and he is seen in the book of Acts as being in the upper room. All the disciples were there. All the apostles were there. But after that, he just seems to fade away, fade into the wall. Does that sound familiar? Does it? We come, we're here, but we're not really here. We're doing something. We're coming to church, but we're not making a difference. We're just kind of fading into the wall, camouflaging. People don't know whether we're really making a difference or not. We don't have any real evidence that Andrew was affected by the resurrection of Christ the way the others were. Look at James the Greater. Now, as I say James the Greater, you know there has to be a what? James the Lesser. That's right. So as we look at James the Greater, James was best known as the other brother of the sons of thunder, his brother being John. James was indeed a part of the inner circle as Christ called on him often and was allowed to see the transfiguration of Christ. He was known for his fiery exchanges, once wanting to call down the fires from heaven on a Samaritan village that would not receive the Lord. Wednesday night crowd, we just talked about that, remember? After the resurrection of Christ, tradition tells us that he was a witness for the Lord, but tradition also tells us that he was the first apostle to be martyred by King Herod Agrippa I. The first. But Gary, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things I'll sign up to be first with. If we're having a men's event, I'll sign up first to go in the line. Right? If we go on fishing, Mr. White, I'll sign up to be the first one to have my hook in the water. If we're going to Carowinds, good place, and the new roller coaster is Fury. Moe's like, I want to sign up to be front row, first in line in the front row. Now, if I'm one of the 12 apostles, I do not want to sign up to be the first martyred. Y'all remember what they did when they arrested Christ? Y'all remember? What'd they do? They ran. They hid. I'll be honest with you. I believe that a man ought to be able to protect himself in Georgia, in South Carolina, North Carolina, Texas. I don't care where he is. Man ought to be able to protect himself, right? But if I'm out and about in the city of Savannah and somebody pulls a gun and I'm by myself, now I'm with Amy, it's going to be a different story, all right? But if I'm by myself, you are going to read in the newspaper the next day, local pastor is shot in back as he is running from scene. Okay? And that's if I don't have something to protect myself. Somebody pulls a gun, I'm not going to sit there and try to negotiate with him and say, man, please don't kill me. I'm starting to run. I'm gone. We see this morning, he didn't run. He didn't run. James the Greater accepted his fate, and he was the first to be martyred for the Lord. Then we see Philip. Philip was known as an apostle of Christ before the resurrection. We also see him often, but near nothing of him. We know nearly nothing of him or about him. After the resurrection of Christ, tradition tells us that Philip was a pastor in Central Asia Minor. Tradition also tells us that he, like Peter, was crucified head down as to further humble themselves before the Lord. Big change, Brother Frank, wasn't there? A big change. What was the change? The resurrection of Jesus. It changed them. How about Bartholomew or Nathanael? They're the same one. Just different name and two different gospels. Bartholomew was a quiet but an apostle of Christ. Nothing is said of him through the scripture or tradition prior to the resurrection. Nothing. You just see his name. Yep, he was one. Yep, he was one. Tradition tells us after the resurrection, he was a pastor in India and Armenia where many souls were saved before his death. Listen, anybody want to sign up for this? Tradition tells us that Bartholomew was filleted alive and beheaded for his testimony for the Lord. Now, some of you ladies might not know what that fillet is. See, when you catch a fish, my job when I was a child, I was to scale the fish. We'd go out there and we'd catch 120, 130 bream. And we'd sit down there at the dock, and I'd have to scale them. And I'd dip them in water, and I'd throw them in a fresh bucket of water. And my dad would fillet them. He'd take a sharp knife, a filleting knife, and he would fillet the sides off that fish from the gills all the way down to the tail. And then he'd cut the ribs out. That's how you fillet a fish. Anybody want to sign up for that? They were filleting the skin off of him while he was alive. Not while he was dead, while he was alive. That's a pretty brutal way to die. As a matter of fact, as you study all the way these men were martyred, this is the one I probably would least likely sign up for. But he did. What changed him? The resurrection of Christ. The resurrection of Christ. Then we have Thomas. Thomas, we're all familiar with Thomas. Thomas the doubter, before he saw the resurrected Lord. Tradition tells us that after the resurrection of Christ, Thomas preached on the coast of India, where he was later speared to death for his witness for the Lord. It's a big change there, isn't it, Mr. White? It's a big change. I've got to move quickly. James, the son of Alphaeus, sometimes James, called James the Less, is listed as one of the apostles in the four Gospels, but no actions are recorded on his part before the resurrection of Christ. But after the resurrection, he is known to have been the pastor to the church in Jerusalem and is known to have led the council of Jerusalem, where Gentiles were ruled to bear, to not have to bear the Jewish traditions or laws to be saved by Christ. Jesus was hated by the Pharisees in Jerusalem. He was taken to the top of a rooftop by these Jewish authorities and told by the Jewish authorities, you repent of Jesus. You deny Jesus right now. And a large crowd assembled underneath the rooftop. And tradition says, instead of doing what the Jewish authorities told him to do, Ricky, he did the opposite. He started preaching Jesus crucified and resurrected from the dead. And many, many in that crowd accepted Jesus. And the Jewish authorities pushed him off the rooftop. Oh, he didn't die. He didn't die. So they went down and they stoned him. And he still kept preaching. He still kept preaching. And still kept preaching. And they took a club and beat him to death. That's a big change. Nothing is said, no mention. I'm just a quiet follower. I'm going to fly under the radar. I don't want anybody to see me. To being so bold that you are thrown off a rooftop for your witness for Jesus, you still keep preaching, you're stoned, you still keep preaching. Somebody has to beat you with a club and kill you to shut your mouth up. That's a big change. What happened? The resurrection of Jesus Christ happened. How about Jude? I'm just about done. How about Jude? He, like James the Less, there's very little known through the four Gospels. There's only one time Jude is seen as he asked why Jesus would only manifest himself to those who love him. After the resurrection, tradition tells us that he and Simon preached in Persia where they were both martyred. And he may have written the book of Jude. They won't give him that distinction. Then we come to Judas Iscariot. We all know who Judas was. He was a thief who had every chance. He had every chance and every opportunity to accept Christ, but he didn't. Scripture tells us in Matthew 25 that Judas hung himself, never seeing the resurrection of the Lord. Today, Judas is in hell. As Matthew 26 and Mark 14 tell us, that it would have been better if this man would never had been born. Every opportunity. Bill, he had every opportunity. Dan, he had every opportunity. You have had every opportunity. If you've lived in America, listen, we're a nation of excuses, aren't we? Aren't we? Tony, how many people do you think from America are going to die and stand before Jesus and look at him and say, I didn't know. I didn't know. How can you not know? How in the world can you not know that Jesus is Lord? Listen, you can't hardly drive down the road in Georgia without passing 100 churches. And if you get mad at that church, guess what you just do? I'll just go to another church. Right? And if I don't like the music there, I'll just go to another church. And if the people don't love me there, and if I'm not in the clique, I'll just go to another church. How in the world can we stand before Jesus and say, I didn't know? Listen, Judas knew. He knew. So do all we. If you didn't, you do now. What made the difference? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus changed every single one of these people. When a person truly knows and understands how and why Christ died for us, and then understands that His resurrection means what it means in our lives, something's going to happen. A true believer is compelled to live and serve Jesus for the rest of your life. You're never going to be content just fading into the wall. You're not going to be content just sitting down doing nothing. You can't be. You won't be. You never will be. The longer I live, listen, the longer I live and the more God allows me to do, the more I want to do. I never feel like I've done enough. Is there enough evidence to prove to the world that you are the Christian you say you are? Is there enough evidence? Now, I just showed you just these 12. I could show you many more. That when a person accepted Christ as their personal Savior, they understood what took place. They experienced that resurrection in their life. That's what happens when you're saved. Resurrection means saved. Something takes place. Is there enough evidence in your life to support the fact to the world that you are who you say you are? Has there been a change? Are you still being changed? What are you doing for the Lord? What have you done this week? What have you done this? What do you plan to do this week for the Lord? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins right now. Lord, this is your altar. This is your group of people. This is your time of invitation. If there's somebody here this morning, Lord, who has never accepted you, Lord, I pray that you would just start to beckon their heart now. Holy Spirit, move on their heart right now. I'm going to be standing down here at the front. If you need to come, I'll show you in Scripture what God says every single person must do to have eternal life. Will you come? If you're here this morning and you realize, listen, I'm not living, I'm not doing, I'm not serving the way God created me to serve, well, why don't you come? If you know that there has not been a life-altering change in your life the way there should have been, won't you come seek God and His direction? With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come? The altar's open.